Good morning, and welcome to the 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting of Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Rick Jay, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Cary, North Carolina. Today is Wednesday, September 11th, 2024. Today we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter We Agnostics on page 45, the third paragraph beginning with, We Know How He Feels, and reading through that one paragraph ending on the next page with, but it was fleeting and soon lost. Today's readers are Chris M., the 12 steps, Kathy C., the 12 traditions. Our big book readers are Nancy R. in the text, Colleen M. on page 164, and Colleen M. is also filling in as our backup reader. Our newcomer greeter is Tony B. Our second hour moderator is Eileen M. Kathy S. has announcements. The share IDs for Tuesday, September 10th, 2024, are 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 21,729, and 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 21,730. By the way, preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Chris M. to read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, all. This is Chris M., recovering compulsive overeater in New York. Step one, Number one, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Step five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Step six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Step seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Step eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Step 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you. I pass.
Okay. Thank you very much for reading that, Chris. And Kathy C. has the 12 traditions.
Good morning. Thank you, Rick. My name is Kathy, and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater calling in from New York. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Kathy. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes, at the end of which I will give you a gentle reminder. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter We Agnostics on page 45, the third paragraph, beginning with We Know How He Feels, and reading through that one paragraph, ending with But It Was Fleeting at Best, on the next page. I'll now ask Nancy R. to begin reading.
Good morning, Nancy R. from Illinois, recovered compulsive overeater. We know how he feels. We have shared his honest doubt and prejudice. Some of us have been violently anti-religious. To others, the word God brought up a particular idea of him with which someone had tried to impress them during childhood. Perhaps we rejected this particular conception because it seemed inadequate. With that rejection, we imagined we had abandoned the God idea entirely. With the thought that faith and dependence upon a power beyond ourselves was somewhat weak, even cowardly. We look upon this world of warring individuals, warring theological systems, and inexplicable calamity with deep skepticism. We look askance at many individuals who claim to be godly. How could a supreme being have anything to do with it all? And who could comprehend a supreme being anyhow? Yet, in other moments, we found ourselves thinking, when enchanted by a starlight, there was a feeling of awe and wonder, but it was fleeting and soon lost. The agnostics. So, we know how he feels. I have never doubted the existence of God. I have doubted a particular idea of him that I learned in childhood. And I like this next sentence. Perhaps we rejected this particular conception because it seemed inadequate. Inadequate. So I didn't reject the whole God idea entirely, but I did think the God of my childhood seemed inadequate. And one of the things I love about higher power and believing in a spiritual being that can do for me what I cannot do for myself is that it's all inclusive, it's all encompassing. I don't have to believe anything. I don't have to believe it's the same thing as anyone else. And I don't have to be right. And my way doesn't have to be the right way. In fact, my way got me where I was when I was in a horrible relapse about 3 years ago. And the all-encompassing God got me where I am today, which is a recovered compulsive overeater. And, you know, we all have to come to this higher power on our own and in the way that we can. And what I have found is that I cannot count on myself, and I can only relax into the loving wisdom and care of this power greater than myself. And I also know that while I'm not fully agnostic, I need to look at where I'm being agnostic in my life today. Like, where are the areas? What am I not giving to my higher power? And then bring those things to my higher power. And, you know, my steps 10 and 11 really helped me to see those areas and to come back to this solution, which is a power greater than myself. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Nancy. Thanks for getting us started. Before we get our first group of names, just a reminder that although we value everyone's experience, we ask that you please limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Monday or Tuesday, please hold back and let others share. Please give me your name first initial to get on the share list. Who would like to share on what was read today?
Lisa Anna B. in South Carolina.
Kelly G.
Tanya D.
Reggie O.
Okay, Kelly whoa. B. Okay, hold on just a sec. So I've got Lisa B., Sonia B., Reggie, I think, B?
O.
Oh, sorry, Reggie O. And there was somebody else right in that first little group that I know I heard.
Anna
C.
Loretta H.
Okay, Eileen B., Loretta H. Okay, I've got Lisa B., Sonia B., Reggie O. Was it Eileen M., Loretta H., and I know I'm missing somebody. Anybody in that first group who
Colleen
said your name?
Tennessee.
Colleen?
Colleen?
Who was from Tennessee? There was somebody just now from Tennessee.
Shanna C.
Shanna?
Yeah, Tennessee. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So I think we'll stop there. And forgive me if I didn't get you in this list. We'll get you on the second. So Lisa B., you're up first, followed by Sonia B.
Well, good morning, Rick. My name is Lisa B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in South Carolina, and I do spell my name L-E-S-A. Thank you for everyone that's doing service. The line that really jumps out for me, that by the way, that background noise is not for me. There was a feeling of awe and wonder, but it was fleeting and soon lost. And that's to me why, you know, it's been inadequate. I need something that's going to be constantly there for me. And I don't know. I just loved reading that this morning and then hearing the reader share. And then I was thinking, you know, in There Is a Solution, it talks about how our joy and escape from disaster, it does not subside as we go our individual ways. It stays with us, you know, when we're recovered. And it's a relationship with this power that I have that brings such satisfaction, contentment, serenity, faith, gratitude, peace, assurance, you know. And so many times I am agnostic in the face of challenging situations, but I know that that power is there, and I have to just pray that this power will come and take over my mind and help me, keep me free from that bondage of self-absorption and fear, which I can go into so easily and be very negative in doom and gloom. And it's an act of the will of turning to that power, but I have to have abstinence and I have to go through the steps in order to engage with that power. You know, step two is just a willingness to believe that there is a power greater than myself, but I don't have to know what that power is going to look like, or even better yet, what my relationship with that power is going to be like. I just need to acknowledge that, yes, there's a power greater than myself and I need it. I need it to restore me, and it can't be me or another person. And it's the seeking of that power in step 11. It's really through the action steps of the seeking that this amazing mystery gets uncovered. You know, and I love in Alcoholics Anonymous number 3 on page 191, where Bill was talking, and Alcoholics Anonymous number 3, he's listening to Bill talk and he says, I was trying to find out why they had this release and what they seemed to have. Bill looked across at my wife and said to her, Henrietta, the Lord has been so wonderful to me, curing me of this terrible disease, that I just want to keep talking about it and telling people. And it's the release that I have today, you know, with this power. And it doesn't leave me. Sometimes I move away from it, and sometimes I don't always feel it. But staying plugged in with fellows, the tools, and the practice of the steps, it keeps me, my feet steady. So I am very, very grateful for this way of life and being free, curing me of this horrible disease. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Oh, perfect timing, Lisa V. All right. Thank you very much. Sonia B., you're up next, followed by Reggio. Go ahead, Sonia. Sonia, hit star 1 to unmute. Maybe I did not hear a Sonia. Okay. We'll circle back and see if Sonia is on there. Reggio, you're up next, followed by Eileen M. Go ahead, Reggie.
Thank you, and thanks so much for your service this morning, and Nancy for your share. And what I really related to was at the end of, and that is, not that you are agnostic, but where am I being agnostic in my life? Where am I not trusting and relying on God? And that's more my experience today. But when I first came into program in 1985, that was not my experience, because I didn't have a God that I even wanted to hear the name of. And I had a long time before that, when I was a young girl, was in a sort of a deeply spiritual family, and God was a punishing God. My God was a punishing God. And when I was kind of like Santa Claus in a way, making a list, checking it twice, hoping to find that I was more naughty than nice. One morning when I was around 11 years old, I thought to myself, and I adored my father, I thought to myself, you know, I love my dad more than I love God. I know it's a sin to love anything more than you love God, so I'll probably be punished, but how can I be punished for something I can't help? And a year later, my dad was gone when I was 12 years old. And about 3 months after that, the church that I'd been going to, early mid civil rights movement in the South, and a black family who came to the door, and they wouldn't let them in. And I thought, oh my goodness, I've been singing, you know, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight, and they wouldn't let a black family in. That was it. I was done with God for years and years upon years. And I met I had a spiritual life, and I had those starlit nights, moon, ocean. I could be so lifted up. And then I got into program in 1985, and the first meeting that I went to that read the How It Works at the beginning of it, and I heard the word God, I was ready to get up and walk out the door. I didn't, thank goodness. And then the first time I went through the steps in the big book, and we were taking step three, and I thought to myself, can't do it. I cannot turn my will and my life over to the God that I know. So, but that started my journey to finding a God that I could turn my life over to. And it's been a long road to get to and know that I'm on the right path. And it was today for the first time, because I know that it does, that there is this loving power. And today my God is love, and I want more and more of this God, and I trust and rely more and more, and I have experiences, and I learned it. It really hit home for me this last time that I'm going through the steps, that I don't have the power to make myself abstinent. I don't have the power to do much of anything, but I have a power that the big book says lives deep within me, which I consider to be, thank you, in my heart. And that's the God that I'm practicing turning to over and over and over again. And it's always a wonderful experience. So I'll pass with that.
Okay, thank you so much, Reggie. Eileen M., you're up next, followed by Loretta H. Go ahead, Eileen. I think my ears are broken this morning. Okay, Loretta H., we're going to go with you. I know I heard you, and then followed by Colleen B. Go ahead, Loretta.
Good morning, Rick, and good morning all along with my precious God. You do save my life. Loretta H., recovered, and I live in North Carolina. Okay, so this is my agnosticism. I did come in as I am a real compulsive overeater. I feel like I came in as a real agnostic. I have had a religion as a little girl and turned away from it severely. In fact, I've made an amends to my priest since then because of my contempt and hate. And in the back, in their the spiritual experience, which is my story, I came in as an agnostic, a severe agnostic, and I couldn't conceive. I really was angry and disappointed and all that stuff with God. So in the spiritual experience, there is a principle which is far against all information, which is proof against all arguments, and which cannot fail to keep a man in everlasting ignorance. That principle is contempt prior to investigation. And this was my story, and that contempt is my ego, you know, easing whatever it is out. And the acronym is easing God out. And today, I know God, I know peace, because no N-O God, no peace, and then I will take a piece out of you, or as I've shared, a piece out of myself, because that is my foundation today. That's where I have to go. And I'm agnostic in other areas. I can be agnostic a lot, but that idea, that faith is there because I use my third step, as I share, as a trust fund, turning my will, which is my thinking, and my life, which are my actions, over to his care. And that's a wonderful word. So I do have this trust fund. And today is 9/11, and I worked in an industry where it was severely affected. And what it said for today on 9/11 was, I mean, I was newly abstinent. It says, tomorrow's life is too late to live it today. And that's what my sponsor told me. I wanted to give blood. I wanted to do all this stuff. And she said, no. She said, just be abstinent and everything will be okay. And that is what happened. And that was God. that even though I didn't have one, she actually was the God with skin. So today I do feel that awe at
just
times. I thank you, and I pass. Thank you all.
All right. Thank you so much, Loretta H. Okay, and I had a little angel tell me that there was a Kelly G was wanting to get on. Kelly, do you want to go ahead and share?
Hi, good morning. Thank you so much. Kelly G, recovered compulsive overeater in Florida. Thank you for everyone's service. And, you know, I relate a lot to this because growing up, I had no conception of a higher power, God. It was never mentioned growing up. And I grew up in a Jewish household. And when someone would ever give credit, like, how did you overcome cancer? Or how did you win this? Or and when someone would respond, oh, well, it was just God. We prayed and God was with us. I was like, all right, you lost me there. But getting to know the steps and getting to know that God is the only solution, it developed that muscle in me that became my God instincts. And I didn't really know what they were, but it was, I had to feel them in myself. And it was as simple as if I was going to the grocery store and I had a case of water underneath my cart, and I forgot to mention it to the register, I would go back and I would say, you know what, there is this feeling inside of me that just doesn't feel right. And those kinds of instincts developed, and it was like, that's God. Like, that is God, knowing right from wrong, doing the right thing. And now coming back from this seemingly hopelessness state of mind and body, to be able to restore my mind, so I can differentiate the true from the false. That's God. And right now in my life, if I didn't have God, I mean, I would be screwed. There are so many changes going on, ending a relationship, trying to change my career, figuring out my next step. I'm in such a crossroads, and all I have is God. And so I am today that person that can only give credit to God giving me the strength and the direction and the intuition to navigate these uncharted waters. And yeah, I'm so grateful to be one of those now that gives credit where credit's due. And I take no credit for it whatsoever, but I'm so grateful to have that inner compass, because without having this disease, without having this obsession, without doing this work, I would never be able to navigate this world. And, you know, it's just, I'm just on a different plane in my everyday life. And I'm so grateful that I have that solution today. And I can be one of those people that can attribute everything to God. So thanks for letting me share.
All right. Thank you so much, Kelly G from Florida. All right. So in this list, I've got Colleen B and Shanna C. Then we'll get some more names. Colleen, go ahead, and you'll be followed by Shanna. Okay, we'll move on to Shanna C.
Good morning. I have some different headphones on. I hate to ask, but can I be heard?
yes, you can be heard.
Okay, thank you. This is Shanna C. Sorry
okay.
about that. Grateful recovered compulsive overeater from Tennessee. Grateful for everyone's service. Thank you so much, Nancy. You know, one of the things I'm reminded of is the God of my understanding, whatever concept I had at the time has been with me my whole life. And I remember my grandmother, who was probably the one that was closest and had the deepest relationship with the God of her understanding more than anyone in my family growing up. She always would say, God is big enough to speak to you individually as, in a way that you can understand. You know, and I didn't. That memory hadn't come to my mind until this morning. And so by the time I got to recovery, and you know, I had so many mixed up ideas, just like everyone else, with the whole God thing. And it wasn't that I didn't believe. I flat out just didn't believe I was good enough for God. And there were certain ideas that I assumed God didn't care about certain things, like particularly food. Like they were bigger problems in the world to worry about than what people are eating. Anyway, that was my idea. God does that. I found out. But anyway, rather than having to figure God out, some of the things that were really helpful for me, rather than having to come up with this concept of God before I can make a beginning, you know, I needed to start where I was. And what happened for me was the Gift of Desperation acronym, G-O-D, Gift of Desperation. You know, that moment of clarity that happened, I need help, and I don't know where it's going to come from, but I need to do something, you know. And what ended up happening is a group of deviants, group of drunks, or group of, you know, I say deviants for us compulsive overeaters because the fellowship, you know, is a power greater than me that helped me. The Gift of Desperation was a power greater than me that helped me get started, you know, and the good orderly direction was the directions on how to work the 12 steps, and the action taken is me actually putting my faith in a power greater than myself because I'm following directions that are not my own. And when I take the action, when I'm willing to believe that taking the action and going through the process, what happened for me was the consciousness of my belief came to me. I took that action, and just like the Big Book promises, it says, when we, you know, he will disclose himself to us, you know, in our own individual way, in our own, from our own point of view. This book, you know, in the especially in the story, talk about how they established a relationship with God. And because of that, because of me working the steps, establishing that relationship, because of that Gift of Desperation that came from the pain of the compulsive overeating and the disease, it's all worked together for my good. And that is my God, you know, and I have come to believe that there is a power that is real. There is an entity that shows up when I least expect it. And it's usually when I'm being humble and when I'm trying to help somebody else and I get to experience
it. Just a reminder.
And I appreciate all of your help. Thanks for being here for me when I needed a safe place to land, and I still need you every day. All right, I'll talk to you soon. Thanks.
All right, thank you, Shanna C. from Tennessee. So I'm just going to circle back. Was there Sonia B. or Colleen B. that wanted to share in this first group, and you have not shared yet? It's possible that I just totally misunderstood the names being called. So, okay. Before we continue with our second group of names, we are in the chapter We Agnostics on page 45, the third paragraph beginning with We Know How He Feels. And reading through that one paragraph, ending with on the, but it was fleeting and soon lost on the next page. And though we value everyone's experience, we ask that you please limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you share it on Monday or Tuesday, please hold back and let others share. Please give me your name and first initial. Who else would like to share what we've read today?
Patty
P.
Jennifer C.
Ken W.H.
Okay, hold on just a sec, guys. All right, so I've got Jennifer C., Ken W.H., and there was somebody else right in that first little group.
Patty O.
Did you get Nancy P., Rick?
I got you now. Yep, okay, got you.
Okay.
Blanca B.G.
Okay. Anybody else?
Blanca BG.
Yep, I got you, Blanca. All right, so hopefully I did better with the second group than I did the first group.
Colleen
so here's
M.
what I have. Sorry?
Colleen M.
Oh, okay. So were you on that first group and I missed
no,
you?
No, I was not. No.
Oh, okay.
No, I was not.
All right. Okay. All right. So here's who I have for our second group. I have Jennifer C., Ken W. H., Patty O., Nancy P, Blanca BG, and Colleen M. All right, Jennifer C, you're up first, and followed by Ken WH. And if you are not Jennifer C, please unmute. Go ahead and hit star one to mute your phone. Go ahead, Jennifer.
Good morning. Jennifer C, recovered in Greenville, South Carolina. Love all of you. Love being here. love that the very thing I thought was the worst possible thing that could ever happen to me, which was to be a compulsive overeater. I love that that very fact has me right here, right now with all of you today. Thank you, God. You know, Bill had to face two things in order to take a true third step that made it possible for him to never drink again. He had to face his pride and he had to face his prejudice. So first thing, I don't got this, right? Step one, complete defeat. I don't got this. I'm never going to get this. I'm never going to tackle this. I'm never going to think my way out of it. I'm never going to read my way out of it. I'm never going to find a program other than this program out of it. I'm never going to get out of it. I'm sunk. I'm defeated. Hands up in the air. I am the real deal. Now what? Now what? Now God, right? God is mentioned in step two. They don't wait. They mention it in step two, because if you really truly take that first step, my sponsor always says, you really truly take a step, you're going to automatically feel that other step move it, the other foot moving to the next step. So are you completely defeated, or do you still think you've got this? Are you, do you still think you're going to be the exception to all the rules and figure the abstinence thing out a different way? Are you still going to do it a different way because you're not the real deal and you've got all these tricks up your sleeve? Then you're not completely defeated yet by this disease. But once you are, and once you know that you are, and once you fully concede to your innermost self that you really truly are, there's nowhere else to go. We go to step two, right? But God can change my life. God can change my heart. God can change my mind. God can change my relationship with food. God can change my relationships in general. God can change my relationship with myself. God can. God is a miracle working God. Do I believe that? Yes or no? And if the answer is no, what's the pride and prejudice there? What's the pride and prejudice there? What prejudice am I holding against God? What are the things that I learned along the way that I have to set aside now? Well, if God is so good, what about this? Well, if God is so great, what about this, right? That's all the prejudice that's in my heart that I need God to remove. And God can move mountains, right? So can he take things out of my heart that I need removed? Yes. Step two. Yes, he can, right? And so I don't have any of this. Faith and dependence. Am I willing to let God lead my life? Am I willing to let God control me? Because there's two controls. The control of this disease, which is a nasty, horrible, horrible, vicious power in my life that wants to take me down, grab me by my throat and tell me it's my fault, or the power of God, which is love, mercy, kindness, goodness, and miracles. I'm going to go that route, and I'm going to take step three, and I'm all in. And with that, I pass. I love you all.
Thank you, Jennifer C. All right. Ken W.H., you're up next, followed by Patio. Go ahead, Ken.
Thank you, Rick. Excuse me. This is Ken W.H., recovered compulsive eater in North Carolina. I'm struck by the use of the word supreme being, and they use it twice in a row here. That's where I got all tangled up for so long. The step asks me, step one asks me to surrender. It suggests that I surrender completely. And step two talks about a power greater than myself. And we just read in the last paragraph, a power greater than myself that would solve my problem. And my problem that I'm addressing here is my eating issues. That's all. A power greater than myself. It does not say supreme being. And in fact, it doesn't say God. So God, that term fouled me up for a long time, as it does many of us, as I hear on the meetings. It isn't asking about that. It's talking about, just happens to use the word God, which may be an unfortunate thing that word got used so early. It's just asking about a power greater than myself that'll solve my problem with food, period. That's all I have to look at. Is this power enough to solve my problem with food. That's all I'm looking for here. The rest of it, you know, the why do good things happen to bad things happen to good people and da-da-da-da-da and wars and all that stuff, those are theological questions. Those are going beyond this concept of a power greater than myself that will solve my problem with food, as far as I'm concerned. I've spent a lot of time studying and getting into theology and all that kind of stuff. And that's been a challenging and healthy growing process, not always easy. But the fact is this is just asking me to keep it simple. Keep it simple, Saint. You know, power greater than yourself that'll solve this problem. That's what I'm looking at. And if I could, the rest of it, it becomes clutter in the early stages for me. It did for me. I just, thinking about all those things was a good reason not to think about a power greater than myself that will solve my problem with food. So that's all I have to share. I hope that makes some sense.
All right. Thank you, Ken W.H. from North Carolina. All right, Patty O., you're up next, followed by Nancy P. Go ahead, Patty.
Hi.
Patty.
Hi, this is Patty O. in Florida. So I'm doing this because I'm trying to follow good orderly direction. I'm sharing at the meeting on the advice of my sponsor that this is indeed step 12. I'm very nervous and I'm very scared and I feel like I got nothing to contribute. I do, however, have a lot of experience with my will and God's will. And I say God's will, which is such a debate inside my head. I am a Catholic girl. I went to Catholic school. They introduced me to this God that scared the pants off me. And so I hid from that God most of my life. And I got into the habit of doing what I want, what I thought, because I wanted to have what I wanted or to keep what I had. And I was afraid that I wouldn't get what I wanted. And so I took Patty's advice. Don't take Patty's advice. September 13th, I'll have a year of abstinence. And on Sunday, I had a lovely lunch with my sister who is ill. And she died in the car with me on the way home from where we were. And you know what's so funny is that I struggle with the word God, but when she died, I was, please God, help me. Please God, help me. And he did. I called 911 and whatever. But on Monday, I almost picked up food. And I just prayed and prayed, please God, please higher power, help me not to eat until I talk to my sponsor. And all that crazy thinking, I'll eat today and I can start tomorrow, big lie. I've told that lie to myself my whole life. And so I did not eat. I talked to my sponsor and I had a weighed and measured abstinent day yesterday. And I have a plan for today. I'm sharing at this meeting. Don't know if it's going to save my life, but I'm just trying. I know it's step 12, and I'm willing to do that. My sister was revived, so she did not die, but we got her into hospice. And anyway, just I felt very alone. So my higher power helped me to help her and to do what was necessary. And my higher power helped me not to go get the bagel and cream cheese until I talked to my sponsor. So I did my higher power's will, the next right thing, until I did not take my own advice. Thanks for letting me share. Thanks for letting me share, hon.
Thank you so much, Patty O. And, yes, yeah, our prayers with you, and that was very traumatic. Nancy P., you're up next, followed by Martha B.G. Go ahead, Nancy.
Hey, Rick. Thanks for letting me share. Good morning, everybody. Nancy P., recovered in Weston, Massachusetts. Yeah, I know how they feel. And my problem is that I wanted to start at the end, not the beginning. And I didn't want to earnestly seek. I didn't want to do any work. I just wanted to be struck serene. Forget about, I don't care about abstinence. I mean, yeah, absolutely, I have to put the food down. Like, that trip ship has sailed. I know that, and I don't ever worry about that anymore. I don't hurt myself with food under any circumstances. And then the whole, like, who then made all this? I don't really think like that in those terms. I mean, I am humbled by what I see around me. But the my problem was that I didn't want to do any work. So if it's, you know, fleeting and soon lost, it's because I don't do any work to hold anything. You know, I just wanted to sort of have it be like, you know, I'm out of milk, I go get milk, then the problem's solved. Or if I'm out of milk, then I don't drink milk. Like, I don't know, I had the problem solved, you know. I just wanted the problem to be solved. And it was complicated slightly by the fact that I don't like the cross, the crescent, and the star. I don't like any of that. I just don't get any relief or comfort from that type of thinking. So what's a girl to do? And, you know, I remember, you know, when I worked with these scientists, and I was helping get a grant out the door for them to do their research. And I said to one of my friends that worked there, I said, well, you know, I don't know about this, and what do I do? And this is this one number that just won't go away. And she looked at it and she said, just ignore it, just move on. And, you know, I finished my work and the guy got the grant and all was well and everybody got what they wanted. And that kind of thinking is what I, you know, as long as I worried about God, I got nowhere. But when I said to myself, you know, excuse me, what my sponsor said to me is I had to decide what I wanted God to be and what I wanted God to do for me. And the first thought in my mind was not God. And, you know, once I sort of got to that point, I began, forget about God, like I don't care about that. What I began to do was to awaken. And now all my work goes into staying awake. And spiritual wakefulness is my goal, if such as it is. I don't really have any goals. But, you know, spiritual wakefulness is where I want to be. And I don't ever fall asleep. And the reason I don't fall asleep is because I do the work that's necessary to stay awake. And that's it. And it's amazing how much time I have to do that now that I don't eat compulsively, think about eating, hide my eating, wishing I was eating, wishing I hadn't eaten. I mean, all that kind of thinking does take up quite a lot of time, not to mention the eating itself, you know. And so I am at rest, you know. And, you know, one thing got me there, and that's, you know, say it with me, surrender, surrender, surrender. And if anybody wants to know what surrender is, I just realized it when other people were talking. It's a place of rest for me. I do the work, and counterintuitively, finally, I'm at rest. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Nancy P. from Massachusetts. Blanca BG, you're up next, followed by Colleen M. Go ahead, Blanca.
Hello, good morning, all my brothers and sisters. Thank you, moderator. You know, I was, it's amazing how we come across this perfect paragraph at the perfect time. About a month or so back, I was struggling with my mental and emotional and spiritual self, because they're all connected. I find when I'm doubting God's presence or my higher power's presence in my life, everything else kind of starts to cave in. And I happened to speak and talk a little bit about how I was feeling, and also realized that I was beginning to doubt my faith. You know, I was beginning to doubt that my God, as I perceive my God to be, was there anymore, was listening. And I was a little down about some things, and I happened to mention it. And I cannot tell you how wonderful it felt the next day when I, opened my phone, and so many people, beautiful sisters in this program, and you know who you are. You will never know how dear that was to me, to see the messages that I had from my beautiful sisters in program saying, we heard you. We heard you, Blanca. And I was absolutely stunned. But then at that moment, I realized that's God. You know, that was my God saying, you think you're not heard, you think you're alone, but you're not. And it was an amazing and uplifting and grateful moment. And I felt at that moment restored. I said, that was God answering me and giving my faith back to me through these beautiful people in this program who took time out from their day to say, you're going to be okay. How can I help? So, and again, I'll say, you know who you are. and thank you. And God is with me again because of you, because of your response to my sadness. And there's nothing like this program. And thank you all very much. And on that, I will pass.
All right. Thank you very much, Blanca. And where are you calling from, Blanca? And also, we've got a lot of background noise. If someone could please check and make sure you're muted. And Blanca, could you tell us where you're calling from?
I'm sorry. I am calling from Central Florida.
Okay. Thank you. All right, Colleen M., you're up next. Go ahead, Colleen.
Good morning, Rick. Thank you. Thanks for your service. Colleen M., recovered compulsive overeater from Maryland. I wanted to, this paragraph just speaks to me so much. Perhaps we reached a particular conception because it seemed inadequate. You know, when I got here, I really did not think this God thing was going to work for me. I spent most of my adult life in religious buildings, my whole life, actually, you know, it was faith and religion. And even many years in other programs of 12-step, trying to have a spiritual awakening, but my disease just took away all of that, any connection to God. And I really didn't think I was going to be able to get it back. But then, you know, at the end of the paragraph where it says, yet other moments we found ourselves thinking of, you know, the stars and the moon and the beauty that we see around us. And so I had those fleeting moments as well. It was very confusing. It was a long road back to a faith. And I love the set aside prayer, you know, help me set aside everything I think I know so that I can have an open mind and an experience. That was very helpful for me. And then I just had to make the decision, like it says in the big book, you know, we came to a place where we had to either believe there was or wasn't a God. And so I chose to believe that there was, and then I started acting towards that belief. I started off just saying prayers from the big book. And it's been a slow process back, but the relationship that I have today with a higher power, I believe is something that my higher power did for me. You know, I did not make it happen. You know, they say that you only need faith the size of a mustard seed. And, you know, my faith was very small in the beginning, but I kept having experiences after experiences that kept showing me that, you know, this is not me. This is something bigger than me working in my life. And it works. It really works. We don't have to understand it. We don't have to even believe it. But I have to be willing to believe and act towards that belief. And that God can take care of the rest. And it's different for each and every one of us, which is the beauty of it, because this is a personal relationship that I have with a higher power who knows me inside and out and wants to, I believe, wants to rearrange my thinking. And the problem is it's always my thinking. So with that, I'll pass. Thanks for letting me share.
All right. Thank you, Colleen M. And you will be our last share today. Thank you for taking us out. And thank you to everyone who shared. Just a beautiful meeting, everyone. Thank you all so much. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Wednesday, September 11th, 2024, is 21,736. That's 21,736. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Colleen M. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Okay, Colleen M. again. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditations what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until the